This is Radio Influence, podcasting redefined. This is Landry Football on Radio Influence, the only podcast where you can get perspective of what happened on the gridiron through the eyes of a coach, scout, and front office administrator. Now, it's time to step into the film room. Here's Chris Landry.
Welcome in, everybody, to this Thursday, September 13th edition of the Landry Football Podcast. Exciting weekend of college football ahead. Second weekend of the NFL. We've got a lot to get to today. Reminder that, we've got a question today. If you've got a question that you want addressed here in the Landry Football Podcast, send it to us. Send me an email. Just hit contact Chris on the website. I'll get it, and we'll address it right here on the podcast for you. As I mentioned, big weekend of football. I say that all the time. Isn't it always a big weekend? We maybe don't have a lot of sexy college games, but we've got some good ones. And the college game is also important to for a week-in, week-out basis. Want to get into that. We're certainly going to touch on what we're looking at as far as the NFL matchups this weekend and take a look at some of that. But I want to remind you again just kind of how we do things at LandryFootball.com, because it's obviously a marriage here with this podcast and the website. But we've got numerous college football previews, college football film room reviews each week. So basically you get every Power 5 team plus some others that we break down inside the film room. We tell you what we uncovered when watching the tape, and we do that in the early part of the week with a look towards this upcoming weekend's games. And then we provide the game previews with a little bit more of a matchup look to it. And we've got those up already up on the website. If you're there, you can look. And there's a bunch of them. So you look up on the website, they're just all over the place, and it maybe is a little bit intimidating. Don't be. Hit the college button, click on the news, and boom, and there you go. You can see all the college reports. That's still a lot. It's okay. You're looking for something in particular. You don't have to scroll down. Just go down on the left side. Look for your favorite team. They're listed by conference. Click on the school, and you got your game preview right there. If you're a fan of a particular conference, you want to read about everybody in the SEC, click on SEC, and you'll get all the game matchups. You get all the film room reviews. So it's easily sortable, and it gets you right to the detail. Now, it's lengthy because it's detailed, but you can go through, and don't be intimidated by it. It's a lot of fun. You'll learn a lot. So there's a lot that we've got for you there, and we'll do that. NFL-wise, we do it the same way, but we, for the purposes of how we do it, and you'll get about Wednesday, you'll get a team-by-team, a little bit of a report on how the top-graded players on the teams are doing. So you'll get the blue-graded and red-graded players, and if you don't know what that means, you can find it right up on the website. It'll tell you of how players have graded out to this point in the season for the teams. But we continue to work on providing you the most detailed film room report with all these teams, with a lot of detailed. So we usually get to that. We'll have that out by today, certainly tomorrow. And that is a review of what the film showed us last week with how it may affect this week's games and how it, with a look towards this week's games, I should say. So we'll have that for you. But then we'll also have on Friday all the NFL game previews for the current week. So that's kind of how it works in a general sense. It takes a long time to get through all the film, folks. So to be able to, and I got to look at it really quickly so that we can get as much information out to you as possible. So that's why it's really important, I think, to take a gander at us at LandryFootball.com. You get not only all the film room analysis, but the inside information on the college and pro game and recruiting and draft and coaching news. Listen, we've got great membership packages, so we'd love for you to check us out today. And for less than a magazine, you can have access to a coaching and scouting department. That's about as good as you can get anywhere. There's a lot of free information out there. I don't doubt that at all. That's what it is. It's free information. It's people just writing, and that's fine. But always look at, you know, the credentials of the person doing it. That to me is kind of what separates what we do. So check us out at LandryFootball.com. No disrespect to anyone else, but we feel we can provide something for you that simply others cannot do. So check us out at Landry Football. Want to start in kind of the storyline of this week going into the college season is the games that are not going to be played and the games that are going to be impacted. First of all, as you listen to this on Thursday, the Boston College-Wake Forest game is not going to be on at 6:30 Central. It's going to be on at 4:30 Central. They moved the game up, obviously, due to the storm. We've got some closures, West Virginia, NC State. We've got some Virginia and Ohio moving to Nashville to play. We've got South Carolina, you know, canceling their game. We've got a few others. And that may necessitate some other changes and some other cancellations. Let me say this first, and this is first and foremost and most important. I said this on Tuesday. There's been some criticism. I thought Whit Babcock, the athletic director of Virginia Tech's comments about the game, their cancellation with East Carolina, was very unfortunate. It was not only insensitive, but stupid. And you'd think he would have learned from the dumb way that Joe Oliva of LSU handled their situation a couple of years ago with Florida. And, you know, when you're dealing with a major catastrophe coming to your area, the thoughts of how we can get this football game in, it's just not really that important. And it was particularly bothersome to see somebody like Joe Oliva a few years ago, who, you know, as those of us that are grew up in Louisiana in Hurricane Ellie, in just after them having to participate in dealing with hurricanes that have been so devastating, namely Katrina recently, not 2005, not recent, but you know what I mean. To have to deal with that, to not be sensitive to other people, was very unfortunate. And for Whit Babcock this week to do this was ridiculous. It was stupid. And, you know, you end up having to go back and apologize, and you got egg on your face. It's just not that important. I do think that there's some things that could be done, should be done, in terms of maybe adding a week into the season to allow some flexibility of moving games, if it is possible. If it is doable for a team to move out of harm's way and go play a game somewhere else, great. If they can do it, great. But if they can't, okay, or if they choose not to, let's go that way. If they choose not to because they're just more concerned about other issues that are more important, don't criticize that. That's like telling somebody who's dealt with a tragedy in their lives, get over it. Everybody's going to deal with grief in a different way. There's a panic that goes on in these difficult times. I can tell you, if you haven't been through it, it is different. Hurricanes are different. Normally, a tornado comes up on you out of the blue. An earthquake comes up out of a blue. You know, hurricanes, you know they're coming, you're planning, and then there's, in some ways, a panic that sets over people, knowing that it's coming and how are you going to deal with it. There's a tremendous amount of anxiety of how are you going to deal with this? Are you going to lose your home? Or is your home going to be there when you come back? You've got your pets to deal with. You've got a lot of things in your community that you worry about. We're here to talk football, but when I see people that are in administration that I do work with, it's totally clueless. It just makes me want to jump out and say, hey, get a grip, get a hold of yourself, get some class, get some poise. You're in a leadership position. Act like a leader, not like a moron. Okay. Now to the football part of this, when you have games that are going to be missed, it's going to cause an issue. It could potentially, the only one that I see where it can have an impact in the national stage could be West Virginia. They'll have one less game. Will it affect how they're perceived nationally with one less game if they end up being the best team in the Big 12? I think Oklahoma is, but that would be the only circumstance right now that would feel affected. So we'll see how it'll play out. For others, there are other factors. If you are a team like Virginia, you definitely wanted to play. Why? They want to go to a bowl game. Chance to beat Ohio and get a win, They're probably going to need that win to have a chance to be bowl eligible. No guarantees, but it's for their chances, they need to have it. It factors into the importance. It differs per team to team. And so you're going to see different types of decisions being made on it. Okay, on to some of the games. Boston College Wake Forest tonight is going to be a lot of fun, be very interesting. Both of these teams are very good, very underrated. It is this Boston College team is good. Watch A.J. Dillon. Watch this offensive line. Watch this defensive front. They're a little better than Wake Forest. We'll see what the weather might do in terms of impacting this game. But this is going to be a lot of fun to watch these two teams. Hopefully, again, it's less important, but the weather will allow for this game to show what I think is a pretty good Boston College team. And I'm very curious to see how they grow and develop throughout the season, but where they go from here and whether they can sustain through the rest of the year from a depth standpoint. Oklahoma-Iowa State is going to be the key game I'm watching in the early window Saturday. Well, this Iowa State team, this offense, which is not bad, got handled by a very good Iowa defense. We'll see what they can do, if at all, against Oklahoma in terms of moving the football. The problem's going to be holding all against Oklahoma. And there's a bit of a revenge factor, of course. So look for Oklahoma to roll in this game. Folks, Syracuse, Florida State, lot better looking game than we ever thought when this season took off. Syracuse has got a good offense. Florida State, not playing well on either side of the ball. Certainly not playing well up front offensively. Can they keep up points? Do they give up some cheap points to Syracuse? Do they continue to get misaligned on defense? Don't know. Certainly we know Florida State's got more talent, but right now Florida State is in disarray. Nebraska gets another bite at the apple. They get Troy this week. We'll see how they rebound. I want to see with Adrian Martinez. Is he available? How well he plays? Going to be interesting. Georgia Tech Pitt. Boy, this Pitt offense is bad. Look for Georgia Tech to come out and have some success here in this game. Tennessee against Texas El Paso. Want to see Tennessee's growth. This is a game that they need because there's not many wins on their schedule. This is probably the last one. I can tell you quietly, North Carolina's probably glad they don't have to play Central Florida. That looked like another loss. Penn State, we'll see if they can continue to get better before they head into conference play. Got Kent State this week. Kentucky, take care of Murray State and see if they can get better. Rutgers, Kansas, a game that's I'm going to keep an eye out on to see if Kansas can continue to grow and develop with some confidence. Temple, Maryland. This Maryland team's pretty good. Can be a little bit better than anyone probably thought. We'll see them take care of business. Indiana quietly beat Virginia in a very bad weather game. We'll see them take care of business against Ball State this week. Toledo gave Miami all they wanted, and I'm talking Miami, Florida last year. We'll see that again this year, that matchup. Then at 1:30 Central, we've got Vanderbilt, Notre Dame. Vanderbilt's defense playing pretty well. Be quite a challenge here. Expect Notre Dame off of a bad performance at Ball State to take care of business, but I'm curious to see how long Vanderbilt can keep this game entertaining. The top game, clearly, in the second window is LSU-Auburn. Got in-depth breakdown of this game, obviously, as well as Oklahoma, Iowa State, FSU-Syracuse, Georgia Tech-Pitt. We've got Troy, Nebraska, even Vanderbilt-Notre Dame. Want to see what offense can block the defensive front. Who can run the football best? Going to be pivotal in this game because the ability to run the football or set up the run or force the defense to respect the run is going to be the key to having success in the passing game. Joe Burrow's not been able to make many plays for LSU, but he is a bright guy. He's a good decision maker. LSU on the road here. Auburn a better team. Auburn blowing that game last year. Like Auburn's chances here to take care of business. Game that is very underrated in this time slot is Boise, Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State's got another good offensive unit. Maybe not as explosive as some of Mike Gundy's teams, but pretty good. Very curious to see what this Boise State team's going to do up against them. An outstanding team Brian Harsin has. This may be the last team on their schedule that can beat them. So very curious to see, watch this game and see how this plays out. Wisconsin gets BYU. BYU's defense playing pretty well. This is certainly the toughest team that Wisconsin has played. They need a little more resistance before they get into conference play. Curious to see how Wisconsin, who's running the football well, big physical offensive line. Jonathan Taylor's been great. Got to hold on to the football. Hey, how about Florida? You think they're a little nervous against Colorado State? Colorado State playing a little better. things have kind of settled down a little bit. Comeback win over Arkansas. Florida's got a rebound, play well. Texas Tech Houston, another intriguing game. Got that broken down for you as well. Ed Oliver, off to a good start. Texas Tech, try to work around him, get the passing game going. Do they have enough defense? This is an important game for a guy like Cliff Kingsbury. While Houston is respected, when you if you were to get beat, and particularly beat handily by Texas Tech at this stage where Cliff has been there a while, this is the type of game, along with a tough slate in the Big 12 that maybe you're not real successful, this might be a tough game for Cliff Kingsbury if he doesn't win it. Arkansas won't have as easy a time as you might think against North Texas. Really poor performance by Arkansas last week. Long way to go for Chad Morris. He's got to recruit on the defensive side. They're just not very good, and my concern going forward is, you know, what type of talent can they get there on the defensive side? Michigan gets SMU playing better. We'll see if they can take care of business. Duke-Baylor, sneaky good game. Baylor can move the football. May challenge Duke a little bit more in this game than you might think. Minnesota, hey, is playing well. They take care of business against Miami of Ohio. Then it'll be a little fun, a little exciting as they go into Big Ten play. Of course, the early evening window, we're going to be looking at Alabama-Ole Miss. Don't think this is going to be that good of a game, but I think we all want to see what Ole Miss's offense can do against Alabama's defense. But I'm probably just as interested to see the bloodletting that is going to be when Alabama's offense has the ball against Ole Miss's defense. And I'm curious from a style of play standpoint, I expect Alabama to shorten this game, run the football, control the football, and limit Ole Miss's offensive possessions as much as possible. That's what you really want to do from a schematic standpoint in this game. Expect Alabama to roll. They, won 66-3 last year. I think Ole Miss will score more points. Alabama will win, and I think the margin of victory is going to be significant. Georgia will pound Middle Tennessee, I would anticipate. Northwestern will bounce back against Akron, I would think. Mississippi State's going to be challenged a little bit against Louisiana Lafayette, but will likely take care of business. A&M, will they, you know, come down and respond and play with a lot of focus and intensity against UL Monroe? That's what I want to see. Louisville gets Western Kentucky. I think Louisville bounce back. I think two games that intrigue me, Northern Iowa, Iowa, is looked a little bit better. Iowa, I'm looking in this game to see what they can do offensively and get the passing game going as they head into Big Ten play. And Missouri-Purdue, Missouri can move the football offensively. This Purdue defense is not covering well. That's not a good formula. Purdue got the win last year. Look for Missouri to rebound. Purdue's got to play a cleaner game, a smarter game. This could lead to more frustration this week. Of course, Ohio State TCU is set up as the game of the week. I don't know how good it's going to be. I don't see TCU being able to stand up against Ohio State's offense, who's looked very explosive. I think TCU's going to have to find a way to move the football, score some points. I think they can score some points. As good a job as Gary Patterson does, matching up against this Ohio State offense is going to be a real challenge. USC Texas, talk about an important game for a different reason. This one is. Clay Helton needs it. Tom Herman needs it. USC's offense has struggled. Texas has struggled on both sides of the ball. I give USC the edge because their defense has played a little bit better. But I wouldn't give an inch, wouldn't give anything for either one of these teams. Got a long way to go with both of these teams. You want to talk about a physical game, a well-coached game? You're going to get that in the late-night window, Washington, Utah. An important game. Utah's got a chance in the South as the South of the Pac-12 is wide open. Washington is going to be in a battle with Stanford. It's going to come down to those two, I would think, in the North. Washington, a little better, a little bit more playmakers. Utah's a little bit better on special teams. These are two disciplined physical football teams. It's going to be a really fun game to watch. Want to see what Chip Kelly can do against this Fresno State team, Jeff Tedford, and get this offense going a little bit. I know that UCLA is not going to look like Chip wants it until another couple of recruiting classes, but wanting to see how things will develop. And Herm Edwards, want to see him against the San Diego State team. That's Herm's alma mater, by the way, San Diego State. So I'm curious to see. Arizona State should be able to keep their nice start on a run here. We want to see San Diego State, their running game, see if they can shorten the game a little bit, and see if Arizona State can handle, you know, a big win and coming off of that. So that's kind of a look of the week in college football. As I mentioned, not a lot of sexy games, but there's some good games, and we'll see how this will play out. All right, going to answer, well, as best we can. Nick asks, says, as a diehard Bills fan who is wondering your thoughts on the current Bills coaching staff, what's your current outlook for the team? Well, off to a bad start, as you well know, Nick. I think that Sean is a really good coach. I think the staff is pretty solid, but you got a young quarterback. We're going to have to go through that. I think there's some talent on defense. If I'm looking at them objectively in that division, you know, I think they're kind of there with Miami as the teams that are looking up. I think the Jets, not just because they won the first game, but with their quarterback, they're off to a good start. Now, if the Bills can get good play out of Josh Allen, improve play throughout the year, I think the team could be improved. I don't think this is a bad team. Obviously, they went to the playoffs last year. I didn't think they were a playoff caliber team, but they got in. I think with improved quarterback play, you know, the future's not bad, so we'll wait and see. On your second question, he says, I talked on it in the summer a little bit, but after 2 weeks with college football, coaches are on the hot seat. Who your replacements would be? Nick, it's way too early for that. We'll talk a little bit as the season goes along. We're going to get into that. But I think it's, frankly, a little bit unfair. I certainly don't want to be talking about replacements unless something warrants really doing so. I think it's very, very, you know, like, for example, North Carolina. Well, North Carolina is not planning on firing Larry Fedora. That's the one that's come up a lot and people have asked me about. They owe him a lot of money. He was loyal to him after year one when he could have left. And so maybe more so than loyalty to the money than loyalty to him, I don't think that they're going to make a move. If that completely craters to the point where they feel like they have no choice, then we'll get into it then. But a little bit earlier for that. It's a great question. Just at this time, hopefully you understand and get back with me on that at a little bit more appropriate time a little later. All right, we want to get into some NFL discussions and kind of take a look at some of this week's games. And along with that, want to remind you again, it's week two of the NFL season, and it means a second shot at victory for you. And do I have the answer for you? It's the DraftKings, folks. It's week two. You got that second shot. Bragging rights and huge cash prizes are up for grabs all season long at DraftKings, the leader in one-week fantasy sports. This weekend, DraftKings has over $2 million in total prizes, and you can play free with your first deposit to compete for your share. With a one-week fantasy at DraftKings, you choose when to play. Draft a new team every week with no season-long commitment at DraftKings. You are the GM. Just choose your players, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. No matter what your skill level is, there's a contest waiting for you at DraftKings. So if you've been thinking about trying one-week fantasy football, now is the time to play, because nothing makes Football Sunday more exciting than when you have DraftKings lineup on the line. Download the app or go to DraftKings.com now. Use the code Landry to enter a contest for free this weekend with your first deposit and compete for your share of over $2 million in total prizes. That's code Landry, L-A-N-D-R-Y, only at DraftKings. The game inside the game. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. That's your answer. That's your exciting answer for your fantasy football weekend. And you've got LandryFootball.com to help you get prepared, know what's going on, help you with your teams. What a combination. What a partnership. DraftKings and Landry Football. Hey, going to be interesting to see tonight, Baltimore-Cincinnati. Both of these teams played pretty well last week, Baltimore in particular, against a hapless-looking Buffalo team we just talked about. Cincinnati at home, these games are so important. I don't know about playoff capabilities of either. I think it's a long shot, but Baltimore maybe has a little bit better shot. But this is a game that you got to win on the road if you're going to make some noise. Both of these teams need to get the running game going, but they struggled. Probably going to rely a little bit more on the passing game here early. That's where I kind of see this going. Carolina goes to Atlanta. Atlanta's got to rebound, fix some things in the red zone. Carolina, We'll see if they can continue, have success, be balanced on offense. Hey, the Bills host the Chargers. The Chargers had some struggles against the Chiefs last week. They get to go on the road against Buffalo, and we'll see if Buffalo defensively can hold on. Chargers, a lot of expectations in that division. Big game, going across country, need a big win there. Minnesota, Green Bay, is Aaron Rodgers going to play? How much is he going to play if he plays? Big game here, obviously Minnesota, favorites, Green Bay, big time, emotional win against the Bears last week. Watch this game. This will be a tough defense to have success against for Green Bay. Tennessee really played poorly, suffered a lot of injuries. They in Atlanta had an awful week, losing games and losing key players. Houston really got handled at the line of scrimmage by New England. We'll see if they can bounce back, go on the road to Tennessee. Big AFC West game. The loser digs themselves a little bit of a hole. Speaking of a hole, the Saints have consistently dug themselves a hole. They started 0-2 the last 4 years. Get Cleveland. Cleveland's trying to figure out how to win. Craig Williams going back to New Orleans. We all know that whole story in Bountygate. Look for the Saints to figure some things out. This is not going to be as difficult an offense to defend this week, but we'll see how this plays out. Saints, again, got to figure out how to play defense, get off the field on defense. Offensively, they'll be fine, but they've got to get back on track and stay healthy and get through these first four games where they can have both of their running backs, Ingram and Kamara, in tow. The Jets, off of an impressive win, they do it two in a row. Well, you know what? If you're going to be a player, you got to win at home against Miami. I think the Jets are the better team. Look for them to take care of business here. Pittsburgh, Kansas City's coming to town. Their offense, all their bells and whistles and eye candy. Pittsburgh, can they settle down on defense? Can they run the football as well as they did against the Browns with James Conner again? Going to have to do it. Got a tie. Need to get in the win column. Tampa Bay, what can you say about Tampa Bay's performance? Sharp against the Saints. This is not the Saints playing a much better defense. I don't expect the same type of results here. Look for Philadelphia to go 2-0, and the Bucs go back to 1-1. Washington, sneaky good. Played well. Impressed with their tape last week. Thought they moved the ball well. They could win this game at home here and go 2-0 against the Indianapolis Colts. Indianapolis need to kind of find their way a little. Luck looks good, but still, you look at that roster and say, not good. Arizona's bad-looking team. I expect them to start out 0-2 because they're playing the Rams, who I expect to start out 2-0 at home. I said several times this summer that the Rams are the most scouted offense, the most scouted unit this offseason. So people will have a different idea of how to play the Rams. The Rams will be challenged to vary what they do a little bit off of the same looks. But I tell you, Sean McVay in this offense, particularly when Gurley's gone, is awfully tough to stop. Detroit goes to San Francisco. San Francisco needs to get back on track. Did not play well against Minnesota. We know Detroit and how they played on Monday night against the Jets. Not a good look there. Denver at home, got to like their chances against a Raider team that's just not as talented as they are. The game of the week is definitely Jacksonville hosting New England in the late Sunday game. AFC Championship rematch. Different looking teams for the most part, certainly from New England's standpoint. It's Jacksonville, their physicality. Can they do enough against Brady? Offensively, can they get enough going? It's a challenge for Jacksonville. Loss last year in the playoffs will be an early test as to whether there can be a real player this year. I think a loss by New England doesn't really hurt them. They still win the division. Probably still end up with home field advantage. We'll see. That's a later conversation down the road. This doesn't hurt New England. A loss by Jacksonville, kind of from a confidence level standpoint, may have an impact here. Big game for them. Big game for their psyche. Speaking of big games, you got Dallas hosting the Giants. These are such important games, division games early. I mean, they count twice, really. And, you know, this Dallas team looks so disorganized. Play calling, play design, execution, just really poor job. How much have they fixed in a week? The Giants look a little bit better than Dallas did in their loss. They're on the road here. Dallas goes 0-2. It's going to get even more and more uncomfortable. That's a place where you get a lot of negativity if you don't win. You get a lot of hype. And some of it's overreactionary. It's an overreaction. But this would be a tough loss for Dallas if they lose at home to a division foe And I do think the Giants look a little better. The Cowboys are at home, maybe a little bit more desperate. Somebody's going 0-2. And then Monday night, you've got Seattle going to Chicago. Now, that's a team that's really stinging from their loss, in which they clearly dominated Green Bay in the first half, and Aaron Rodgers happened in the second half. And, you know, the one thing I go back and when I looked at the game that jumped out at me was how offensively the Bears couldn't sustain, couldn't get enough points in the second half to close the game out. That's the difference between being a team that's improved talent-wise and jumping to the point where you're learning how to win. You got to be able to finish. You got to be able to get your offense in the end zone, put your foot on the neck of the opponent, and finish. We'll see if the Bears can do that. They're at home. They're excited. There's a lot of positives in how they performed, but they need a win. Seattle, different situation. They could go 0-2 after playing Denver. They didn't play a very clean game, but they're probably a little bit better than they played last week. And this is a a tough go to go 0-2 and to be in the hole this early to the Rams, but would not be a good start for them. So it's a big game. These games in the early part of the year, let's just call it like it is, they count just as much as the games in the latter part of the year. But, you know, you got, regardless what happens this week, you still have 14 games left. So you've got plenty of time to turn the team around. And I can tell you that the teams that you see in the early part of the season are not going to be the same teams that you're going to see in the midway and the latter part of the season. Teams change. First of all, teams are going to get better, and then some are going to level out due to injuries or issues relating to players' availability relative to the amount of snaps that they can give you in a game. But the teams don't look the same. But the importance of these games, they count just as much. And when you're looking towards the latter part of the year and you're down a game or you're up a game, it's largely due to how you played in these first couple of games. So these games are really important, but because you've got time, they're not critical. Important, but not critical. That gets later in the season. And a lot of this league is about positioning yourself into the latter part of the season, which is why the NFL's fun. It's enjoyable, but it doesn't have the desperation feel of a big game like college football does every week. That's what makes it a little different. So it's going to be a good week. Going to be fun. We'll be here to break it down for you. Every team, every game, the college and the pro scene. Remember, we're going to have the full breakdowns of all of these games on LandryFootball.com. And we'll have, obviously, the complete breakdowns from last week's game and how it pertains to this week's games as well. So check us out at LandryFootball.com. Remember, if you've got a question, send it to us. We'll address it on another edition of LandryFootball.com. So we will on the Landry Football Podcast. But you can send us a question on LandryFootball.com. Hit contact Chris. So appreciate you joining us today. Have a great weekend of football. Remember to check us out at LandryFootball.com for all the latest. Join us here with a membership this weekend. You won't regret it. Take care, everybody. Enjoy the games.
To get more of Chris's knowledge, visit and subscribe to LandryFootball.com. You can also find him on Twitter at Landry Football. This has been Landry Football on Radio Influence. This is an In the Trenches with Ian Beckles. Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
When they're walking into one Buck place today, everybody feels good about themselves. The Bucks are 1-0. But when they walk in that defensive room, I promise you, it's not all smiles and giggles, because they got manhandled yesterday in the passing game. And it wasn't for a couple costly fumbles. That, you know, one was probably forced by Quan Alexander. The other one, the Saint gave it up a little bit. If it wasn't for that, we didn't stop anybody. We didn't stop anybody all game long. We didn't stop anybody. We didn't rush the passer. We did a wonderful job stopping the run, which was good. We didn't run the ball that great as an offense, although we didn't really give it a chance. Eventually, we're going to have to get there. But we passed the ball so damn well that I don't think it even really matters.
In the Trenches with Ian Beckles can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.